Today we are going to discuss about educated public. We cannot afford to become loose. If we do, we'll have serious spiritual problems. There is no harm in being strict with ourselves. Prabhupada was so strict with himself. Well, I'll give you an example. Since we're talking about etiquette in public, once Prabhupada was in France. In France, we didn't have any temple at that time. We had a very, very simple setup. The early days, I think in 1970 or 69 even, 69, 70. Harivilas Prabhu took Prabhupada to a program. And it was just Harivilas Prabhu and Prabhupada. He didn't even have a car. So he was waiting for a taxi. And so Prabhupada was standing and Harivilas was trying to wave the taxi down. And there was a restaurant. And in summer in Paris, the restaurants, they spread their tables out in the open. And so Harivilas suggested that Prabhupada, why don't you sit down in that, in one of those chairs? Then Prabhupada said, no. He said, a guru never sits in a place like this. So this is the standard that Prabhupada maintained. Like Prabhupada was always concerned that the way his image is very important. So now you may say, well, I'm not a guru. But day after tomorrow you have to become a guru. I mean, that is how the Krishna consciousness movement goes on, and that's how the Krishna consciousness movement will expand. And Mahaprabhu says, Amar Abgar Guru Hoya, in my order, you become a guru. That is, you become qualified as a guru and deliver the world. Like what, can we deliver the world if we are not qualified? No. But if we are qualified, then we'll be capable of delivering the whole world. As Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, Prithivim Shashishat, he can deliver the whole world. He can discipline the whole world. He can accept disciples from all over the world. And we have to be very, very careful. We are wearing saffron. Well, the householders can have some license. Actually, householder order has some license. But the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, no license whatsoever. They are sadhus, they are wearing saffron, and they have to act according to that order.
Yes. Lord, when we traveling in a plane or in a journey or in a train and things like that.
Even in the plane it's better to carry your own food.
Yeah, food can get, but something like drinks, you know, water and
that's alright. And when in the plane then it's understandable. Right? But avoid eating in the plane. At least first thing, try not to eat the food that they're offering.
Yeah.
Right? Take fruits. I mean, you can place an order for fruits and cottage cheese. That they will.
Cottage cheese you can take.
Cottage cheese you can take because it's milk product, it doesn't have any in it. And carry your own food. You know, some samosas and things. So nice in India. Actually, what we cook in our temples are 1,000 times better than what they serve. Right? And it's even better not to eat anything while flying, because it's actually very harmful for the body to eat in flight. So better not to eat at all.
Journey, traveling, and train mostly.
In the train. Actually, when I used to travel quite extensively in India, in the trains I never used to eat. And I tell you, that's preaching, you know, that helps our preaching. Because your co-passengers see that you're not eating. And they immediately notice that and immediately they respect that. In the plane also, when they see that you're not eating, you know, they immediately appreciate it. You know, because, you know, everybody knows that the tongue is very, very difficult to control. Like karmis, when they go get into a plane, They don't care about whether eating is going to be good for them or not. I mean, they lust over the food, you know. Like, they know that, you know, like, in a plane I'll get the food, and they probably, you know, dream about that food for months together. But, and when they see that we devotees are not eating, they become very, very respectful. Jai Shri Krishna.
Traveling, sometimes even when one is traveling, the test is to think, well, if I'm going to have to, or if I'm going to eat in a restaurant, I may be going to Singapore, Hong Kong, somewhere, maybe even certain places that I'm buying things. So if I let me not dress as a devotee, let me dress in non-devotional clothes, so as I don't show a bad example.
The devotees are in non-devotional clothes.
Yeah.
And if they're out eating outside, whether it would be a bad example. Yes, at least to yourself. I mean, you see, first of all, it is a bad example to yourself, right? And then the second thing is that one day you may be in karmic clothes and you may think that it's all right. No one can see me. No one will recognize me. But it will develop a bad habit in you. And someday, when you are in devotee clothes, even, you won't really think it's something wrong, because you already got used to, you know, eating like that. So it's better to, actually we are doing it ultimately for our individual, our own benefit, our personal benefit. So it's better not to indulge at all. So I will, yes, I did
that. I was told that a devotee doesn't generally eat in public. Is that true?
Yes, it is said that Vaishnavas don't eat and sleep in public.
Particularly, Brahmachari and Sannyasi should not be seen by any woman eating or sleeping.
Yeah.
Is it true that if someone stays you're eating with heavy bag of kami, stays you're eating, looks at the food that you're eating, and lusts at it and eats it?
Yes, it happened. Yes, Vidar Dhamana.
How does that apply to our Krishna conscious restaurants? If you walk into our yogis.
Krishna conscious restaurant?
Yes, you walk into this prostitute door and eat.
How does it look when we see in our own restaurant in Vrindavan? The brahmacharis and sannyasis sitting down and gaffing away. How does it look? Does it look very nice? Actually, it's better to be a little more sensitive about that. I mean, actually, you know, we think it's all right. We have a tendency to think that it's all right. Like, I remember in the past, I also did that. I sat down in the restaurant, took prasad. But, you know, like then to consider a few things. I mean, now that, you know, I'm speaking to you all, at least this time, I'm very strict about that. Because ever since I heard that Prabhupada told Harivilas Prabhu in Paris, that a guru does not sit in a place like this. Now I started to become a little more concerned, a little more careful about my behavior, my duties in public. So in one sense, you know, like it's better not to sit like that, because that place is not meant for devotees. That place, that restaurant is meant for the guests.
Right?
For devotees we have prasadam in the temple, in the Gurukul. Our prasadam has been arranged. And now, although we call that prasad, but it's not actually prasad. It's cooked by all kinds of karmi people. I do not know, you know, what their habits are. At least I know that this kind of, the higher cooks are usually low class. Very low class people. They are not very careful about taking bath before they start cooking. They are not careful about taking bath after passing food. They are not careful about washing their hands after passing urine. And what to talk about other things. Like, who knows whether they're, you know, indulging in intoxication, whether they're indulging in illicit sex. So, it's better not to be there. Apart from a public image, even for our spiritual life, we should not be there. And if at all you need something, just get it from there, go up to your room and take it there. If at all you need to do that. The purpose of this Vaishnavi Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education is to train up devotees from all over the world to set up the right standards. And the purpose behind this Vaishnava etiquette class is to train, to give you all the understanding of what the standard is. And then it's up to you to establish that standard wherever you are. First of all, in your own life, and then to the people around you. And of course, should not go out and just heavy everybody out. Should be done in a very, very subtle way, in a very considerate, with great care. Anyway, so let's quickly read through the points here. Always remember that you are representing Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada never compromised the absolute truth. However, he was always the perfect gentleman. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada could never compromise with anyone. I mean, Prabhupada would not compromise on the philosophy. Like when Prabhupada was establishing ISKCON in America, he named it as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then somebody suggested that instead of saying Krishna Consciousness, you better say God Consciousness. Prabhupada would not compromise. And you can see what is the result of that. But although Prabhupada was very adamant in his conviction, but he was a perfect gentleman. ISKCON is the only force capable of providing social leadership in this day and age. Actually, every member of ISKCON is a world leader. We should not think, I mean, I'm just a small fry, so let other leaders, big leaders, they lead, and I can just stay behind and carry on with my nonsense. No. We must understand that we all are leaders. We all have a great responsibility. Like, go to think of it, Madhushana Sahasreshu. Out of thousands of people, Koshchi Jatatishita. Some people aspire for spiritual life. Jatatam Apishikhanam Koshchi Mam Vyaktikatvata. Out of thousands of people, some people aspire for spiritual life. Out of such thousands of aspiring people, one or two attain perfection. And out of thousands of such perfected people, rarely one or two get to know Krishna. So at least we are trying to get to know Krishna. So we can realize that in what a rare platform we all are in. We all are standing on such a rare platform. Now, out of thousands and millions of people, and there is one devotee of Krishna. So that means we have the responsibility to lead those thousands and thousands of people. Every individual devotee has that responsibility. And the more we become aware of that responsibility, better the movement will spread all over the world. And Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to produce leaders. All the practically all the good schools I know of, some public schools in England, like Eton, is the motto of the school is to produce leaders. So, and our ISKCON has been designed in the same way. The motto of ISKCON, Prabhupada's idea about forming this ISKCON is to produce world leaders. And ISKCON devotees are the real world leaders. And not those people, those who are coming out of Eton and Ascender. The real world leaders are here in ISKCON. And we have to become aware of that. And this awareness helps us. If we know what is expected out of us, it helps us to become very determined about our conviction. So, it is important that we are aware of that objective and we remind ourselves constantly and remind other devotees also about this basic requirement. And actually, ISKCON is the only society that can save the world. Otherwise, this world is doomed to extinction. Nothing can actually save the world from the Third World War. And Third World War would mean total annihilation. I mean, actually massive devastation. Like, I think it's a statement of Otto Hahn after the atomic explosion. That he said that, when he was asked how the Third World Wars are, the scientists who exploded the atom bomb.
Oppenheimer.
That's right. Einstein was asked how the third world war would be fought, right, after the atom bomb was dropped and everyone saw the disaster. He said, I do not know how the third one will be fought, but I know how the fourth one will be fought.
Sticks. There won't be anybody.
With sticks and spears.
Sticks and spears, yeah. Sticks and
stone. Sticks and stone, yes.
If you need industry to make match.
Oh, yeah, right. So, and what is actually stopping the world from this imminent disaster? This Krishna consciousness. If you closely watch the world history, then you can see that how it is gradually shaping up. Like, who ever thought that Russia would take a stand like it did? With Gorbachev, we can see how the Russia's policy is changing. And with Russian policy changing, the whole world situation is going to change. And it's already changing. Because the whole conflict was the conflict between Russia and America. All the threat was generating from the conflict between Russia and America. And if Russia takes a peaceful stand, the whole world situation will improve so drastically. And it is improving. And you can see Gorbachev, it seems that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has some big plans for him. And if somebody asks me, I will immediately say that this is because of this Krishna consciousness movement. We may not see due to our gross perception, we may not be able to detect how Krishna consciousness is actually changing the history of the world. But it is the transcendental sound vibration that is being sung all over the world is changing the destiny of this world. While dealing with people, we have to sacrifice our false ego. Most of the time, the conflict starts due to our false ego. If we just take a humble position, we can avoid the greatest conflict. Somebody may be completely unjustified. Somebody may be a rascal and a rogue, and he may come to, and he may be insulting us and creating a whole lot of problems. But if we just take a humble position, we can very easily avoid any unpleasant encounter. So better to give up our false ego, sacrifice our false ego. I'm sure you all know the story that everyone, all the demigods wanted to figure out who is the greatest, right, of between Lord Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu. And Bhrigu was selected to figure that out, right? So finally what Bhrigu did, he went to Lord Vishnu and kicked him on his chest. He was sleeping and he kicked him on his chest. Right? And Vishnu's reaction was, he woke up and he started massaging Bhrigu's feet. Oh, I hope you didn't hurt your lotus feet. So, and that's how Bhrigu figured out that Vishnu is the greatest, because Lord Shiva and Brahma got angry. Brahma chastised him, Lord Shiva was about to kill him. But Vishnu just reacted in such a solo way. We must train ourselves not to be concerned with the subtle interaction of the three modes of material nature. Be careful about how we should be concerned about the interaction between the three modes of material nature. What is this fighting tendency? Is it that because we are so Krishna conscious and we are trying to save Krishna's money that we get into fight? Or we become influenced by the mode of material nature called passion, one of the modes called passion that we do that. Like, a person in the mode of goodness will avoid it. Like an example has been given. You see, how people interact according to the modes of nature. You see, you are walking by the road and all of a sudden a cycle came and bumped into you. Right? Now three people will act in three different ways. A person in the mode of ignorance, person in the mode of passion, and person in the mode of goodness. How will the person in the mode of ignorance react?
He will get angry and want to beat the guy.
No. What? He will start to cry. Yeah. In a mode of ignorance, he will start to cry.
Passion will do that.
And in passion, he will just get up and punch the guy on the face. Right? And a person with goodness, he will just stand up and brush the dust out of his dhoti. Tell the person.
It's not his fault. He should be
more careful. Yeah. And he will tell the guy, it's alright, it's actually my fault. I was walking by the wrong side of the road. So, let us be at least situated in the mood of goodness. We need to develop single-minded determination to think, speak and act as Srila Prabhupada would have wanted us to do. This is Prabhupada consciousness. It is imperative that we remember by constant practice that everyone is a part and parcel of Sri Krishna. Always remember that everyone, including Sri Krishna, is watching you. Actually, that actually gives us the awareness that we should do anything wrong. Because not only the people are watching us, but Krishna sitting in our heart is watching us. And we cannot fool Krishna. Sankirtan is the most effective method to awaken Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be very concerned to distribute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This should be the essence of all our dealings. Never lose your temper in public. Humility and tolerance will always win over anger and frustration. Don't eat in public or sit in public places for discussion or relaxation. Prabhupada says, therefore, it is a principle that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in Shastra, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go full force. So I have to stop now. Thank you all very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada. So, today we are going to discuss about the etiquette in holy places. Now that we are in Vrindavan, we should be very careful about how we behave in the holy places. Actually, the holy places are of two categories. In India, the holy places are in two different categories. One is called Tirtha and the other is called Dham. Tirthas are the places of pilgrimage. Places of pilgrimage. And Dham are the places where the Lord performs his pastimes. Or we can say Dhams are actually the extension of the spiritual sky. The Tirthas are the holy places. People go to the Tirtha and what they get is Punya. But when one goes to Dham, then he attains Sukriti, which gives them Krishna consciousness. Sukriti. Sukriti means transcendental piety.
So if you visit the Tirtha, you get the what?
Punya.
You get Punya.
Yeah. But if you go, you see, Punya means piety. But if you go to the Dham, then you get Sukriti. But at the same time, we have to be very careful how we behave in the Dhams, because in the Dham, if we commit offenses, then we may become very, it may stifle our spiritual treasure.
You have a basic question, how does a certain place become a Tirtha?
There are some Tirthas are pertaining to different demigods. Also, Kurukshetra is Kurukshetra can be considered as Dham actually. When you consider Kurukshetra, we say Kurukshetra Dham.
So what are the places which are Tirthas, which is renowned?
Like Banaras is a Tirtha, Varanasi, Kashi, Kanchi, Prayag, Haridwar. Yeah, but they are not the direct extension of the spiritual sky, like Vrindavan, Mathura, Ayodhya, Dwarka, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip. These are the extensions of the spiritual sky. Badrikashram, itself is pertaining to the
Sharda.
Because Badrikashram is directly connected with the Lord. Badrikashram is the abode of Badrinarayan.
And
Narayan Rishi is there, they have their pastimes. And whereas the Benares, Kashi, is a place of Lord Shiva. So it will not be considered as Dham. Kanchi, then there are different places that are connected to Kali, Durga, Shiva. They are not considered to be Dham. They are Tirtha. Generally, everything can be called as a Tirtha, but first of all, we consider there are five Dhams. Five Dhams are Mathura, Vrindavan, Ayodhya, Dwarka, and Maya, Mayapur.
Isn't Mathura and Vrindavan considered one?
Yeah. Well, no. It's considered as Dham. Two separate. Mathura, Dharavati, Ayodhya, Mayapur and Vrindavan.
Who is this
part? Puranas they have been mentioned.
Jagannath
Puri? No, not in that sense. These are the places of direct pastimes of the Lord. These are the direct expansion of the spiritual sky.
Don't the Puranas, according to other people, Maya is mentioned by Haridwar?
No. They do not know.
Why would they
were telling
these people don't
recognize
Mayapur
as the birthplace? That's because they're unfortunate. You see, Mayapur is covered and only some fortunate people can see it.
So the Puranas mention they mean Mayapur.
When this Puran mentions Maya, Mayapur, they mean Mayapur Tham, Bhagavati. First of all, you know, this Mayapur, Mayapuri, that's what they call, on the way to Haridwar. It's, you know, it doesn't have any relevance. You know, it's not such a significant place.
But Mayapur is also the previous name to Haridwar. It means Haridwar proper.
No.
That is the name, that's...
They say. Actually, I do not really know, but how Haridwar is called as Mayapuri. Right? The original Mayapuri that they have in Himalaya is way, way up there. And the most important thing is that we got to know about these secrets because of our parampara. So we just take the words of our acharyas. What's a Mayavadi say? That's none of our business. Right? Yes, Kunesha.
Can you repeat those five?
Huh?
Can you repeat those five?
Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwarka, Ayodhya, and Mayapur. Jagannath Puri hasn't been considered as, not out of this five, but Puri also is a dham. You see, the thing is that these five places are directly connected with Lord's appearance and pastime. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Mayapur, Ramchandra appeared in Ayodhya, Krishna appeared in both Mathura and Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan, and he performed his pastimes in Dwarka. Major pastimes of Krishna is in Dwarka. Whereas other places are related to Krishna's secondary pastimes, not the principal pastimes, like for instance Kurukshetra. Actually, the extension of Kurukshetra is Jagannath Puri. Kurukshetra is Jagannath Puri. And then there are Mathura in South India, which is known as Madura, Madurai. It's actually Mathura. The Mathura in South India is known as Madurai. And so, anyway, a few points about the etiquette in holy places. And the point that I was trying to make at that time is that we should be particularly careful when you come to the dham. Especially when you are in Vrindavan and Mayapur, we have to be very, very careful. Because Vrindavan and Mayapur are very special. Especially Vrindavan. Because Mayapur, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Mayapur dham also is merciful. If one commits offenses in Mayapur, the dham doesn't take the offense, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one commits offenses in Vrindavan, it's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. We come to a holy place to become purified, to develop our Krishna consciousness. The purpose behind coming to the dham is not to socialize in the restaurant, to develop Krishna prema. It's a very important consideration. Actually it's painful to see, you know, devotees are coming here, but at least we all are fortunate that we are busy in the institute. But I see so many devotees are wasting their time. Just fooling around, gaffing around, socializing. I mean, one doesn't come to the dham with that kind of intention. And it's unfortunate that we are not able to provide with different programs to engage them. At least today Loknath Maharaj took that Padayatra for Vrindavan Parikrama. I'm sure a lot of devotees will benefit out of that. But then again, how many are going in the Padayatra? I saw only a handful going in a Padayatra, because no one wants to undertake the austerity. When we are in a dham, we should be very, very careful that we are utilizing our time in our spiritual advancement. Prabhupada very much wanted that devotees would come to Vrindavan for reinforcement of the spiritual life, because the Western countries, the cities all over the world are very, very polluting. brahmacharis going out, distributing books, preaching. It's very contemplative. While doing that, although the activity is spiritual, but while doing that, they get involved with so many mundane people, especially half-naked women. So it's very polluting, very contaminating for the mind. And when they come to the dham, it's kind of taking a bath from the dirt that had accumulated in our minds. But even in spite of coming to the dham, if we don't take advantage of it, it's a shame. I mean, all the endeavor, all the money that is spent to come here, the time that you took to come here, is simply wasted. If it's a matter of socializing, we can socialize anywhere else. Our whole life we have been socializing. But what, for what benefit? Of course, Dinabandhu Prabhu mentioned this morning that Vrindavan atmosphere is so pure that even in the restaurant they are discussing about Harinam Chintamani. But maybe one or two devotees have been, or one group of devotees have been discussing about Harinam Chintamani. And if somebody is really concerned about discussing about Harinam Chintamani, then I think it would be much better to walk out and sit under a tree and discuss about the Harinam Chintamani instead of sitting in a restaurant. Because it's so distracting. Like, you know, so many people are coming, and naturally in a restaurant we get into a very frivolous mood. We begin to see who are there, and so many women are around. Our eyes are automatically, even without our even without our repeated endeavor not to look at a woman, our mind is so strong that it just drags our senses towards the objects of the senses. So why allow your mind to become polluted in a contaminating atmosphere? So as much as possible, we try to stay away from that kind of atmosphere and try to take full advantage of our spiritual life. It is important not only to maintain a submissive, humble attitude with other ISKCON devotees, but with all the residents of the dham. In parenthesis, we should be especially mindful of this in mundane dealings, that's arranging transport, shopping, etc. When you come to the dham, we should be very careful, as I mentioned earlier. We should be careful not only about our dealings with the devotees, but also about our dealings with the inhabitants of the dham, the people of the dham. Actually, this dham, the residents of the dham are very special people. Very special people. We may not be able to understand, but they are actually very special. The other day we were discussing, Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying that that he prefers to be in the dham as a quarrelsome, argumentative person than an advanced devotee outside the dham. Like, I mean, the situation of, or rather, to stay in the dham is something very, very special. Very special, and we have to be very careful that. And we should always, those who are staying in the dham, we must understand that they have, for some reason, they have some very special mercy of Krishna. Some very special mercy of Krishna. Because just being born, or just being able to stay in the dham, actually, is more important than being born in the dham, is to stay in the dham. Somebody may have born outside, but if he is staying in a dham, he is very, very special. And somebody can, if somebody dies in the dham, that's the perfection of life. If one is devoted, then just by dying in the dham, he will go back to God. But if someone is sinful and dies in the dham, then he'll get an animal body, and after that animal body, he will go back to God. So many, many animals in the dham are actually advanced devotees who committed some offenses, may have fallen down. Prabhupada once said that also, that the people, those who indulge in illicit sex, they become hogs here in the dham. Those who cheat people, they become monkeys. And this is how another kind become dogs, and another kind becomes tortoise. So these are the four lower species of life in the dham due to some sinful activity. So we should be very careful. Yesterday also we were discussing how to deal with the people. And sometimes we get into fights with rickshawwalas, shopkeepers. We tend to think that they all are out to cheat us. And somebody told me once that when we go past Loi Bazaar, the shopkeepers say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when they say Hare Krishna, he hears them saying, give me your money, give me your money. They don't say Hare Krishna, they say give me your money. So even if they are asking for our money, like, of course we have to be careful, we should think, saying, give me your money, give me your money. They don't say Hare Krishna, they say give me your money. So even if they are asking for our money, like, of course we have to be careful, we should be smart, and we shouldn't be fooled by people. Because the money that we have is not our money, it's Krishna's money. So we should be careful about protecting Krishna's money. But then again, when dealing with these people in the dham, we should be rather careful. Point 3, to actually be in the dham means to be in the association of devotees. Prabhupada always has been very emphatic about that. That people go out in pilgrimage, people go out to go to a pilgrimage, and what they do? They just go and take a dip in the river. Places are the places where advanced devotees are. And we should be on the lookout for these advanced devotees and listen to them. So that's how we make advancement in spiritual life. And especially now we have so many advanced devotees. So it is better, we should be always on the lookout for some nice association. Actually, ISKCON devotees are very, very special. Although sometimes we may tend to think that, I know, why should I go to the class? I know better than him. I can give a better class than him. I have been listening to all this time and time again. You know, I'm tired of listening to the same old story. Or if this person doesn't give such a good class, so I shouldn't go to the class today. But if we think it over, then we can realize, or if we become a little open, then you can see that devotees are very, very advanced. Devotees of ISKCON are very advanced. And the philosophical understanding that they have is very profound. And there are so many sadhus. But if we really want to listen, then the best thing is to listen to the ISKCON devotees. First of all, those sadhus, they do not know English. They won't be able to communicate with us. And often, I've seen, like, they just... Most of the sadhus do not really have that penetrating realization. But in ISKCON, every devotee has, because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada gave us the highest understanding of the spiritual philosophy. So we should always try to associate with the devotees. Actually, last few Ekadasis, we have been spending our time in discussing in a group. It's very, very enlivening. Of course, it would have been nice if we could open it to everyone. But the fear was that in a too big a group, you cannot really have a proper discussion. But I would suggest that we all may not group together to stay up at night, but you all can make different groups and discuss Krishna consciousness. That's very beneficial, especially on an Ekadasi night. We must maintain Srila Prabhupada's good name by being clean in all our dealings. This includes everything from eating to changing money. We should be clean. Like, dirt does not mean some external dirt. There are some internal dirt also. That's our unclean dealings are dirty. Like, black dealings are dirty. So we should try to be as honest as possible. Point 6. Animals are also residents of the dham. We should neither befriend them nor make them our enemies. It is best to maintain a neutral position. There is some letter from Srila Prabhupada, we'll read that afterwards, about this point. Point 7. It is important to come to the dham in a service mood rather than an enjoying mood. Then our visit will be successful. So I have to stop now. Thank you all very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada.